Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Kimberly Kitching.
Welcome.
Hi. So, you know, I've started the campaign, Josh Frydenberg for PM. He can't join the Melbourne Club, but he could actually be our Prime Minister on the Liberal side. It must be his turn.
Well, you know, someone's been there. You know, Scott Morrison's been there for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll happen.
They could run through. Then they could go back to Julie Bishop.
Yeah,
just cycle through. Because you know, apparently that's what happens in teams.
Yeah.
We hold fast until someone decides that we want a new leader and then we just accept that.
But, you know, we asked Michael to donate 104 Exhibition Street to Joy.
Oh, yes.
They
so
get
what
a tax
to
get a tax deduction.
So they sell it, give us the money, we'll move in or something.
Yeah, yeah. And no, just donate to us. They'll get
the whole
a tax
building.
Deduction.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
We'll give them two floors rent-free forever.
We might have to smudge the whole place, but we'll do
it. I think Michael is at the end of the Liberal Party that still believes in some sort of coherent sort of form of ideology, and that might be that he does believe in philanthropy. You know, there's a lot of Liberals who don't actually believe, you know, they think that, you know, that there should be no public funding of anything, you know, any community groups, for example. It should all be philanthropically done.
Well, this is the opportunity.
And so it is to sort of put their,
and we don't mind
put their building where their mouth is.
Who are the jewellers that are in that building?
Oh, I think Cartier is downstairs, isn't it?
It is too. That'd be lovely neighbours.
Right.
Yeah. Get them on as a sponsor.
Yeah, we'll get them as a sponsor. Let them stay. They can give us
our life is changing, guys. Everything's going to be okay.
They can give us a few baubles.
Yes.
Now, I want to talk about Scott Morrison said the best thing when he called what had gone in the government and the parliament, the Muppet Show.
Mm.
Well,
because you've got some very strong feelings, haven't
he's
you?
He's the prime Muppet, isn't he?
Well, I think he really hasn't settled into the role, and he may, of course, never really get to settle into the role, especially if your campaign is successful, Macca.
Yes, Josh for PM. That's right. And, you know, has Malcolm actually moved out of the lodge or did he ever actually move in?
Well, I think that it was sort of a bit of a downgrade from his home.
Mr. Harvest. Now, don't forget it was Peter Credlin that gave him that name.
Absolutely, it was Peter.
She's such a lovely person, isn't she?
I really like Peter and we get on very well.
Mm.
So there you go. But this is often the case. You know, often I think when people...
You know, if everyone who watched Sky News, watched when they go right at night, if everyone who watched those ratbag programs on Sky News, you know, they wouldn't feel one electorate. They wouldn't feel one electorate.
No, I think that some... I mean, they have very uneven viewership, some of them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do Andrew Bolt's program on Tuesday evenings in the panel.
You're a very diverse woman.
You're brave.
I'm telling you, and the thing is...
Do you feel icky, though, when you're in there?
No, I think... Do you know the thing about... I don't know whether you want to have a discussion about Andrew Bolt, but I think the thing about Andrew is that he is a very polite, incredibly well-read person.
Yeah.
And so you are able to have a discussion. We often have discussions, not on air...
He just the wrong stuff.
About... So, for example, we... in the middle of quite a long discussion about climate change.
Oh.
So, but
you're patient, aren't you?
But I quite like, you know, I quite like when you can say to him, well, that's, you know, sort of something that's similar, you know, to a novel or that someone wrote and he's read it. And I think actually we want a well-informed polity and public.
Oh, so you're talking about Andrew Bolt still?
Well, I think that it's really important that, I mean, we are so lucky we live in a democracy.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about some of the countries, and, you know, I was in Afghanistan earlier in the year, and they are...
And Moldova, where they're having this conference. Lyle Shelton's off of this conference on families, you know, in one of the most undemocratic countries in Europe.
Yeah, well, that's right. But, I mean,
hopefully they'll arrest him.
When you think about those sort of incidences, now I'm sure Moldovan prisons might not be the world standard. But, so
either
so that's, well, Yeah.
But, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I think if you can be, you know, I'm here today.
You are.
Sky. I think it's a really, we have a, you know, it's a great country.
We have more listeners than Sky have viewers.
I know. Yours is a very popular program.
Yes.
It's a great, and it's a great program. You have a lot of diverse people on
we
it
do,
as
and,
well.
And so Peter Credlin
so
as well.
So thank you.
Peter Credlin?
Yeah, she is well. And
she's
I saw her on Wednesday night at the Midweek
Ball.
She's
a wrecker. She's a
well,
wrecker.
I think that she, I mean, I think there's been probably a lot of people who felt in the Liberal Party who felt very free to express their views in the last month or so. I mean, Peter's obviously been doing that since Tony Abbott lost the leadership. But I think we've seen, for example, Julie Bishop has been out and she's, I think, feeling very, you know, free as a bird on the back bench. Mm. And, I mean, I think we've seen a lot of her real views.
Yeah, but, you know, when she talked about, and let's touch on this whole subject of bullying, right? Julie Bishop, you know, she made a speech just after, Scott Morrison was elected and said, you know, I've seen things happen in the palm, blah, 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 you know. I think back to that appalling incident, Tony Abbott, Bronwyn Bishop, Sophie Mirabella and other, you know, oxygen thieves, when they were attacking, and they were oxygen thieves, they were attacking Julia Gillard, remember? Ditch the Witch, Where was Julie Bishop on all those occasions that Labor women were attacked, right? Where was she?
Well, she
this conversion
there.
On the road to the backbench, you know, it's bullshit. Well, it's bullshit.
I would... So I'm going to, and I don't know whether you know your listeners. So I've actually been, you know, in Senate estimates, and I've been quite, you know, exploring, for example, of her, attending the polo, for example, on the taxpayer.
And she didn't need a visa for that.
She, well, we can get onto visas and au pairs.
Yeah.
But the fact, I think that, you know, maybe she's never had a life experience that a lot of women have, and a lot of actually people have in life where they're not really disenfranchised. They're not able to. They don't have a.
I get
they
it. But
don't
she
have
talks
a,
about this. Sorry, they don't have a, she talks about.
She
this.
Does, and
you
I.
know, I've seen this. I've observed it.
I hope
I'm
that this
Macca
is a genuine.
Banging desk. You know, why have you done nothing about it, Julie?
And she has done nothing. And in fact, she
absolutely f all.
She has spent years discrediting feminism.
Yes.
But my view of feminism is: why wouldn't you want women to be equal in society? I mean, I don't understand.
You know, it
why
shits
people...
me. It shits me.
But it also makes sense of why she's in the Liberal Party, given the conversation I was having with Michael. Do you know what I mean? Like, there is a way to make that change, and that change is not to say, oh, well, women aren't quite capable yet, so we better stick with the men, and, you know, in another 20 years we might get there. So maybe, and I actually know what you're saying, Kimberly, is that for some women who have been so indoctrinated with the idea that feminism is this bad thing, because we, you know, have this, we've demonised women who've tried to take control of their own destiny, that there is an awakening.
Yeah.
And let's hope that, Julie Bishop's, this is her awakening. The same way
Let's hope it is genuine.
Yeah.
And not something that she forgets if she does resume the leadership position.
But most people get behind an issue when it becomes personal, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
So is this her watershed moment? Is this her moment where it's like, you know what, enough is enough. I've played the team sport. I've sat behind the man. I've been quiet.
I only got 11 votes and none from my state.
And, well, I mean, you know, we don't know what happened in that room, do we? I mean it was a bloody schmozzle.
And I can... Are we getting wrapped up?
We'll always get the right.
But I think if, you know, I would be annoyed as well if someone had said, well, actually, I'm going to use these votes to park them on you only so we can get someone else up. And that's actually pretty
shitty.
Insulting.
Yeah.
And so I would be as unhappy, I think, about that. But she's put herself in the position where that is, you know, she's allowed that to happen.
And, you know, if I offended any viewers with the use of that S word, I'm sorry. Okay? It is intolerable, Julie Bishop, to say, oh, you know, I've seen all this happening over all these years, and you know what? I did nothing. Nothing. Not a thing.
There's a really good film on this called
Talks
The Contender.
Talks Cheap, Julie. Talks Cheap.
The Contender, where they make the point, it's that Joan Allen is in it. People should really watch it.
Yeah.
It is a fantastic film. But she makes the point in that you can't just have the principle. If you have principles, you can't follow those principles, back those principles in only when it suits you.
Yeah.
You must have.
That's right.
Otherwise, they're not
Andrew
really principles,
Bolt,
are they?
Remember, Andrew Bolt doesn't like three-pin plugs because he likes two-pin plugs and he thinks it's a plot. Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca, Tennille, Brenton Gayer has joined us. Kimberly Kitching, a listener has messaged in and said, if we can't objectify male politicians on a gay radio station, how can they experience what women have endured for years?
Please, it's, can I answer
so
that?
This was about Josh. He's sure he would be flattered. Because we've got a message that Josh
has a good sense of humour.
That
so
Josh was hot.
Fine.
Can I point out a couple of things with that, though? Just as the person who, you know, is ultimately responsible for the culture of this organisation.
Number one,
we're not a gay radio station. No. I'm sorry. We're an LGBTI radio station, which means we're incredibly inclusive and progressive thinking. So the idea of objectification as a form of retribution is, you know, packed full of...
Well, you see, I wasn't object. I just think he's hot.
Okay, but...
I don't want him to be my object.
Okay.
No, go for it.
No, I just think, you know, we don't need to, like, you know, tit for tat or what women have been enduring for years. Yeah, it wasn't nice, so let's move on.
I know. So, Kimberly, how is the Muppet Show in Canberra?
I think they're very distracted and demoralised, and I don't think it's finished. And do you know why? Because they have not actually addressed their core problem, and that is around their division around philosophical issues.
Yep.
So, I mean, there are, you know, before I was talking about, you know, our traditional view of a conservative might be, but... You know, when you think there are a lot of conservatives who would believe in laissez-faire economics.
Yes.
And then they've also got people in there who are saying, well, actually, no, we as a country should, you know, build and pay for coal-fired power stations. So that's actually a nationalised kind of scheme. So that's one division. Then they've got divisions around, you know, social issues. So I think they actually haven't dealt with that. Mm. And I feel, you know, there are a lot of people who are very angry, and until they really have what is, you know, a proper conversation about where their policy is going, I think they will continue to be divided. And, you know, they'll go to an election divided. You know, we might joke about, you know, having a new... God, they could have a new leader again.
It'll be Josh.
And we all know what you think of him now, Macca.
Josh.
If there is another leadership spill, surely we can just put this all behind us and move forward with a new election, because it's getting to the point where we're not progressing, we're not actually achieving a lot, because we're too busy talking about what a group of inherently men who are really, really religious are actually scared of. Yeah. You know, we're just not moving forward in this stuff, and we're bringing up religious freedom. It's like this conversation about equality just won't go away, because it keeps coming back to this idea of religion, and then we've got this climate change stuff, and we need to actually remember that those people we elected are meant to represent the interests of their people, and they're not at the moment. 55% of Scott Morrison's electorate voted in favour of marriage equality. Yes. Get over it, buddy. They didn't say no, this shouldn't exist. But now he's going to champion religious freedoms. This is crap. Move forward. Let's actually start fixing this country.
So, and I think we can see that in where they are on quotas. So, you know, I always think, you know, in 1944, some of the women who were sort of the inheritors of the suffragette movement drove a very hard bargain with Robert Menzies. They have they have quotas within their organisational wing of 50% for women. And so this whole thing about quota girls, I find, well, in fact, what are you saying about the people who are, you know, the president of a branch, or the president, you know, of the Liberal Party? Or, I mean, I feel that they haven't really developed, they haven't actually looked at themselves. Mm. And, you know, in the ALP, there are serious consequences if we don't meet quotas. You know, pre-selections can be reopened.
Well, you've suffered at this.
Well, I have, because, in fact, there were too many women running for a position, and a token male in the end, when I was AA'd out. But don't worry, that token male's gone on. He's gone on to be a state parliamentarian, and, you know, he's done quite well for himself. And that's a kind of... Because, I mean, we find this sort of funny because, you know, to that sort of patronising sort of tone. But, in fact, you know, in the ALP, there is not that. And I can tell you, in our caucus, there is a real... you know, that people are really happy and they acknowledge that, you know, that diversity is a good thing. And, you know, I think that shows in that we've been a very united, very disciplined team. And, you know, we've been able to put out policy. I mean, we have essentially been leading policy debate in this country from opposition. Because of the divisions that have been in the Liberal Party. You know, so I think that we've done, you know, that that's been quite a good thing. And obviously, you know, people get lots of opportunity to have input. You know, people laugh that we put our draft platform, you know, other political parties say, oh, we'd never put our draft platform up on the internet for people to comment on. We like doing that. We like hearing people's views. So I think it's, it's been quite good.
I want to ask Kimberly another question.
Oh, okay. What do you want to ask Kimberly?
So, how long... sorry, is the government going to get to May 18, 2019?
I don't think that they would know that. I think that they are in a world of trouble. I mean, if they lose the Wentworth by-election... Which I think, I mean, that's a very hard ask. It's an 18.9% margin. But, you know, that if they refer Peter Dutton, I mean, we may have a vote. There's been reports that some of the coalition MPs would vote in favour of a referral. My view is that really probably because of the stricter interpretation of Section 44, it may well only be the High Court that can give that level of certainty. But... I think that they are so divided, they are not really... I mean, they can't get any clear air. So everything is a distraction, and it's a distraction that they themselves are continually creating. I mean, to put up, you know, the tweet with the hip-hop music, I just thought... Well,
I thought, what?
It's a lot of people thought it was a parody account or that his account had been broken into.
I thought Malcolm's
hacked in from New York.
Malcolm's working with the Russians. So it does feel a little bit like we're kind of almost watching a parallel with what's been happening in America, but a bit more diluted. But it's kind of a scary time for us in Australia with politics if we look over the last sort of 5 years, that the instability that we've seen and that constant, you know, focus on ego, it is kind of tricky. I mean, for people like you, Kimberly, to actually get the work done, because that's what you guys do is the work, you know.
And the Senate, you know, has a lot large number of committees.
So that
reviews legislation or this has lots of inquiries running. And, of course, people, I mean, some of those committees could not meet this week because the government chair those committees, they have the chair and the opposition has a deputy chair, they couldn't decide on who was going to be the chair.
Yeah.
Because obviously there have been movements and some people have been promoted, so therefore there had to be elections. So we couldn't, you know, we were supposed to be doing a Mefloquin inquiry, so whether some people had been adversely affected by anti-malarial drugs yesterday. And we couldn't do that because there had been no chair. You know, we'd had to have an election during the week and then the committee. So this is actually starting to affect every part of government business.
Now, you know something that has happened during the week? The Therapeutic Goods Administration has decided that Amyl should be on the same list in terms of access as heroin.
I know. I've been reading up on that. I better keep my little bedside bottle.
Well, you better duck out and get a few bottles.
It might have to last a few more years.
You know, I think you should take a few bottles up to Canberra and throw them in the Liberal Party party room. Might make it a bit more interesting for them.
I don't like it. I don't care if they ban it. I don't like it. All it does is give me a huge headache.
Yeah, like walking into the Mardi Gras party. So, oh, God, you've got to get out of here.
So they're banning... You know what Amyl is, don't
you? Yes, I do.
It's VHS head cleaner, video head cleaner. That's what it is.
VHS.
Yeah, so...
I was just thinking, if you threw it, wouldn't you want to do that into a joint coalition party room and just...
No, Barnaby.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
I don't know. Barnaby would be unfurling things.
Oh, that's a sad, scary thought.
No, better off banned, I say.
Yes?
Yes, for all of our brain cells.
Well, that is a fair call.
Oh, look.
No, I'm only joking, really.
It'll just...
I know the phones will start ringing hot and we'll get letters about that.
You'll get posts on your Facebook page saying, Brenton.
I know.
I tell you what,
those who know me know that I was only joking.
Yes, I'm only...
I've been on the dance floor a lot, you know.
Yes. Scott Morrison doesn't use Amyl.
We don't know that for sure. We actually can't make that claim. And let's think Alan Jones.
No, I said he doesn't.
No, but we don't know that.
I didn't say he did.
We don't know.
No. What about Josh?
Oh, gosh. Well, Kimberly, I actually just wanted to say to you, because I actually did a bit of research coming into this show, and I was having a little bit of a listen to some of your speeches. So I obviously listened to your most recent one.
Was that on Senator Cormann?
Yes, it was. But what was really, I guess, kind of exciting for me as a woman, and also you're also a fellow Queenslander, so I was very proud, but actually just listening to the fact that you are really, really focused on the idea of leaders of this country actually being exceptional and holding people to that standard. I think, from my perspective, that's what we're missing at the moment. So to actually hear you say that in your maiden speech, and then also really, I mean, that's what you were saying this week with Senator Cormann, is that you're actually saying enough is enough. We actually need to hold ourselves higher and we've got to make that choice. So, yeah, yes. I just wanted to say thank you for that from my perspective.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for... But it is such a privilege to do, you know, to be in the Senate, to be, and I know that not everyone might think that, but it really, for me, I find it is a real privilege to be there. You can have discussions with people about, you know, what kind of country do we want to have?
Yeah.
And, you know, and obviously you don't always agree with people, even, you know, with, there are lots of, you could have lots of discussions with lots of nuance, but the fact is that to be able to have that discussion is a privilege.
Yep.
And, you know, it's one of the reasons why I think, for example, that civics courses should be taught school children should actually, you know, understand our system, because it's a very, very precious thing that we have here.
Absolutely.
And to have the acceptance of lots of different people, to really have a democracy, it is precious.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to safeguard that.
Absolutely. And I think, getting people, I guess, re-inspired about politics as well. So we need to see leaders that actually hold themselves to account and actually hold each other to account as well. So,
and that was one of the things, a very small example was that tweet that the Scott Morrison put out.
Yeah.
And then he said, I'm going to get my staff to take it down. I thought, if you're going to be the leader, you're going to have to lead.
You can't take accountability. Then,
you can't take, you know, say, oh, my sort of indicate that his sort of staff put it up or something and that it wasn't really anything to do with him.
Mm.
I mean, I just think, you know, it's like, you know, just President Truman said, the buck stops with me.
Stops here. Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, and I think there does need to be that level of accountability.
Yep.
And I don't think we've really seen it over the last couple of years particularly.
Yeah, and I guess just to circle back to our conversation about Julie Bishop, we need to also create space for people to change.
Yes.
And I think that one of the things that I certainly learnt last year through the Marriage Equality Campaign, and I was really acutely aware of, is getting people to change their perspective or change their opinion is actually about providing that safe space for them to say, oh, I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yes.
And I think that we've got so much toxic masculinity in this world that we've got all of these ideals about, you know, being strong and not sort of showing any vulnerability or weakness, that it really stops people from actually being truly accepted leaders, because a great leader will change their mind based on new information.
Yes.
We don't know everything all the time, and I think we need to see a little bit more of that. We don't elect people because we think they have the answers. We elect people because we think they're going to be able to negotiate the right outcome. And that's what we need to see more of. And unfortunately for Mr. Kroger, I do believe women can do that even in marginal seats. I don't think we need to, you know, not risk the marginal seat on a woman because maybe they might be okay at that conversation.
Well, you know, but he said it shouldn't just be, you know, in those marginal seats, 9 out of 14 and 12 out of 20.
Yeah.
It should actually be the safe seats.
Should it be all of the bloody seats?
Yeah, all the seats.
Like,
as
the
I said,
best person for the job.
Quota, 50% men.
Yep. Well, you're over quota. Yeah.
And he said, we're over quota. And I said, there you go.
Big time, you got some work to do.
get rid of a few.
Next election. Let's just go for the next election.
And, you know, and that's the thing, is about actually making politics appealing, or making, you know, having those discussions, because lots of people want to have discussions. You know, there will be discussions at Fringe, for example, about what kind of society, not in so much in sort of a really hard political sense, but what kind of society do we want to do? And I think the arts, I think there are two things that show us that. One are the arts.
Yes.
And the other is how we treat our most marginalised and most vulnerable people.
Yep.
In society.
Yep.
They're the two indicators of what kind of society you have.
Yep.
But some of these discussions happen, you know, will happen at Fringe, not in a way that's really in your face, but in a sort of a subtle way. And it's about being open to thinking about ideas.
Yes.
And if you think about it, you know, Brenton's sort of glazing over it.
Oh, sorry, I'm back. Yes, I'm back on, right?
But he's thinking about Emma.
But, you know, Brenton, if you think about how important inspirational, strong leaders are, if you think, you know, all our arts organisations that are led by extraordinary people, imagine if they're all led by nuff-nuffs.
Yeah, well, yes, there are a few, yeah, but by and large, it is those.
That's why leadership's important.
It is those forward thinkers. It is those left of field thinkers, progressive thinkers who make up the arts world, who really need a bigger voice, I feel.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, Andrew Bolt's just rung in. He wants you on the show.
But yeah, I'm on.
He's ditching Kimberly. look, we have to wind up. Kimberly Kitching, thank you.
Thank you very much.
As always.
I love coming here.
I know. You get gifts. And Brenton Gayer as well. Thank you, Brenton. Sorry we put you into a slightly uncomfortable space today.
Yeah, I'll be back next month with a vengeance.
Yes. Okay. So, Macca and Tennille, you are on Saturday Magazine. Remember, this is radio made by us, for us, and we don't get any government funding.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, CEO and Managing Director of Virgin Australia. You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Macca.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.